News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're going to the phones right now. I spent the last 30 minutes talking about elections around the nation, where we stand in terms of the midterms, and I've told you that the U.S. Senate race is coming in hot right now here in Alabama, and the candidacy to really watch, because he has come from nowhere and taken everybody by surprise, sitting now at 16%, and I would say probably higher than that now that Jessica Taylor has endorsed him. Is Mike Durant. Mike Durant, a successful businessman, but prior to that, he had 22 years, I believe, Army service. He has the elite special operations background of flying for the Night Stalkers, the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, and also in the Battle of Mogadishu, we came Black Hawk down when he flew Super 6-4 that was shot down. Glad to have him on. Mike Durant, how you doing today?
Doing great, Phil. It's good to be on.
Well, it's good to have you. And, Mike, I've been said it several times. I do think your campaign right now is one to watch. I looked at the polls. The most recent poll that I saw had you at 16.6%. You scarfed up pretty much everything that Linda Blanchard left behind in the polls. And now Jessica Taylor just endorsed you, and she had like 4.4. If you picked up all of hers, that puts you within the margin of error almost on the other two candidates.
Well, we agree. We see it the same way. And, you know, we think it'll be interesting to see the polls when they come out, you know, with this revised race. And, you know, I really appreciate Jessica's endorsement. And, you know, it's certainly going to help us.
Well, and so Jessica endorsed you, and she also kind of got hard on the other two candidates. I think she referred to Katie Britt as basically being the establishment candidate, and referred to her in some ways, you know, being that person who was for Common Core and that kind of thing. And then the other was Mo Brooks. She just talked about him being sort of a legacy politician. You do have an entirely different background, but you've also moved into your campaign full swing now. I understand you kicked off something this week. You're calling Alabama First. Tell us about that.
Yes, you know, I mean, we've been on the air for about a month and a half, and, you know, just making sure people know that I'm here, it's real, we're taking this seriously, and we think we can win. And, but, you know, a lot of people, they want to meet you personally, and they want to understand your, you know, what you're all about. It's one thing to read something or see something on television. It's another thing to meet somebody in person, look them in the eye, and shake their hand. And so we're going to as many places as we can go to do just that, because I want people to know who I am. I want them to know that I am the non-career politician. I'm doing this for the state and for the nation, not for me. And, you know, again, I think most people get another level of comfort when you're actually there face-to-face.
Well, and I agree with that. Call it retail politics or whatever you want to call it, but if you don't get out and shake hands and knock on doors, it doesn't happen. You can have all you want in the polls and whatever endorsements, but if you're not meeting the people and them meeting you, it changes things. So where all have you been? I mean, you've been busy this week. I know I saw stuff on social media where you were down in the Wiregrass region, but where have you been this week so far?
Right. I mean, it was mostly focused on the Wiregrass, but we did stops in Birmingham and Montgomery on you know, both on the way down and on the way back. And I'm very familiar with the Wiregrass area. I mean, that's where flight school is. I was at Fort Rucker in the early 80s and been back many times since. So very familiar with the people and very familiar with the area. I'm going to the Shoals tomorrow morning. You know, the rest of the next 4 months has not been planned out yet. But I guess I would say the goal for us is to be able to meet with every person in the state that wants to meet with us. Now, is that possible? I don't know. We'll see. But for the folks that want to get that kind of personal connection, you know, I would point them to my email address and my website. You know, it's mike@mikedurant.com. And then the website is mikedurant.com. And reach out to us and tell us, hey, look, you know, we're having a meeting, and we'd like to have Mike come and join us. And we're going to do as many of those as we can possibly do.
Well, and based on my limited experience, and I haven't run statewide, but my dad did, I can tell you, you'll get to take a nap in June. That's when you'll get to put your feet up in June. Hey, I saw somebody. Go ahead.
It's better than some of the operational tempos I've run before, which is we would say you can sleep when you're dead. You know, I'm kind of accustomed to running at that speed, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and by the way, I was at an event not long ago, just a couple weeks ago, actually, in Atlanta. I saw Congressman Mark Green, who I think you know, and he said he's looking forward to seeing a Night Stalker run a race. So that's always good to have folks that are already looking for you who are in D.C. But let me ask you this. So Alabama First, I mean, I like the slogan. How does that translate into what you would do if you were in D.C.?
Well, number one has to be a strong military, and that's such a large issue because from an Alabama perspective, it isn't just buying equipment or, you know, voting in support of the NDAA. It's things like taking care of our veterans. It's supporting the aerospace and defense infrastructure here in the state. To me, those things are all tied together. So it's a bit of a unique situation, really, in Alabama, where support to a strong defense actually has a positive impact on lots of things, not just industry, but, you know, not just jobs, but people who have served, people that need somebody to look, you know, after what the VA is doing for them, making sure, you know, the infrastructure and all the things that we are doing in support of defense is sustained or improved upon and expanded. So that's number one. Number two is getting spending under control because, yes, the defense costs money, but it's money well spent. It's things we have to do to protect the nation and to keep jobs going here in Alabama. But there are a lot of things we spend money on that I think we can cut back, if not eliminate, and that would be the focus because many of them, not only do they cost money and dig us further in debt, but in the end, they're not helping. And, you know, the easiest example is sending checks to people who aren't working. I mean, that just creates a dependency. It disincentivizes them to want to go to work. I believe it's one of the big reasons we have a labor issue right now, and the labor issue is everywhere you go. I mean, the last person I spoke to in the Wiregrass, a woman working two jobs, and she wasn't working two jobs because she needed two jobs. She was working two jobs because the second job she had was to help make sure that business didn't go out of business because they couldn't find people to work. So yeah. It's a huge issue, and you know, I think one aspect of it is the fact that people are being incentivized to stay home, and we can't have that. I mean, the country was built on people who went to work. We got to get everybody back to work and reinforce that. And if they need help with childcare, you know, then we could talk about that. But there has to be a work provision in there where we're not just not giving people money to have children.
No, totally agree.
Number three is foreign policy, because I think, you know, having an experience in the military, certainly the military in general, but also in the special ops world, because we were kind of looking at, you know, a global threat everywhere. So you get a little bit of better perspective about what the real threats are out there around the world, and understanding what the military's capabilities are, and you know, what's a challenge we could take on if we really, really needed to, but also going in with a very reserved approach. You know, the simplest way to describe it is, you know, walk softly and carry a big stick, right? You want to have that big stick, but you don't want to have to use it. And, you know, understanding the implications of, you know, making threats. And, you know, I've heard people, elected officials, talk about nuclear war or ground wars in China. And, you know, you can look at that from an analysis perspective, but you never want to talk about actually doing that sort of thing. So, you know, just having that understanding of what these things really mean when we make statements like this, and how we deal with our adversaries, which there are, unfortunately, several adversaries. We got to take them seriously. We got to deal with them, you know, with a strong hand, but understand that, you know, playing that final card is a last resort.
So Mike, let me ask you, and you already know this, I think, because you live here too, but you represent a state that has one of the highest per capita levels of veterans in its citizenry. And you mentioned a moment ago, one of the things in your platform there was taking care of our military and our veterans. And, you know, in the Senate, you'll have the opportunity to vote on confirmations. I was pretty shocked to see this year that the new Biden confirmation for Secretary of the Veterans, Department of Veterans Affairs, is one of the first ever to not have any military experience at all. He's a pure bureaucrat who worked in the Obama administration with Joe Biden, and now he's been voted in to be the head of the VA with zero military experience, and he's made no public appearances thus far. And I hope that's the kind of thing that would also play heavy into your thinking as you see confirmations in the future.
100%. I mean, that's the last thing we need right now. We need somebody with strong leadership skills that can get in there and shake things up and figure out, you know, why aren't veterans getting the kind of service that they deserve? And you're not going to do that with a bureaucrat that goes in there and probably cares nothing about other than, you know, reporting to the leadership probably false truths and caring about the dollars more than the people.
Well, yeah, true. And the other thing that really strikes me, and I saw this, I think, on one of your ads on TV, and we got a couple of minutes for the break here. So you have, is your company's Pinnacle Solutions, I believe. Is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
And so you guys, being federal contractors, you're subject to these mandates like a lot of other companies are. And my hope is that if we can flip the House and the Senate, that there will be legislative action that would literally act to repeal the authority to do these mandates. In other words, kill them in Congress as opposed to waiting for the courts to duke it all out. Your thoughts on that and what's happening with your employees?
Well, I agree 100%. I mean, it's just one of the most extreme overreaches I've seen in my life. You know, especially for federal contractors, because we don't even have a testing option. You know, we basically, if the court hadn't ruled to basically delay the implementation of this, I would have already had to release people who, had a moral reason to not want to do the vaccine. You know, we can accept a health reason or a religious reason, but if they just don't want to do it on moral grounds, then I had no recourse other than to tell them, you can't work here anymore. Which, you know, I had said before, you'd have to hold a gun to my head. That's holding a gun to my head. If I lose the contract, I can't. Then all the rest of the people on the contract are affected. So it was ridiculous. It was not thought through. And as you implied, you know, the issue we have now is it could turn back on in a minute. You know, I mean, we're really in sort of this false state here where we're feeling okay because it got deferred, but it could come back in a heartbeat. And we need, you know, people to get this thing repealed. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I would hope that you'd be willing to be a co-sponsor on any legislation that would repeal these mandates if it came up in the Senate.
My name would be first on the list.
Appreciate it. All right. Hey, listen, Mike, if you're good with it, we got to take a short break. I'd like to come back and wrap this up with you right afterwards. Is that good with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Mike Durant, U.S. Senate candidate, military veteran, businessman, running for the U.S. Senate to take the seat that is being vacated by Richard Shelby. He's the one to watch right now. Polls are showing that no one else is climbing like he's climbing. So, yeah, Alabama first. We'll talk about it more when we get back after the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, and also live online and podcasted online at rightsideradio.org. If you want this segment we're dealing with Mike Durant or any other that we've done, it'll be up by tonight. You can download it and take it with you on the way to work in the morning. All right, going back to the phone right now, Mike Durant on the line with us, running for the U.S. Senate. He's from here in the listening area, so it's kind of interesting. We have two of the three candidates for U.S. Senate right now all come from the Huntsville, North Alabama region. Mike, so let me ask you this as we sort of wind down this interview here. So one of the hot topics, obviously, is, you know, and it's dealing with your company too, is the pandemic. There's been a great deal of federal overreach. What needs to be done next, in your opinion? I mean, if you were a U.S. senator able to say, hey, here's what we need to do and not do, where are the limits? What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, we have to repeal the mandate for sure, because it's impacting readiness. I mean, you know, you think about the active duty soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that are being told that, you know, if they don't get, and they, that most of them are not being given any out whatsoever, not religious or health accommodations. And these are people that took years to train, in many cases, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now over this, and it is somewhat speculative what the vaccine does in terms of how transmissible the disease is. I think, you know, the evidence looks like it certainly helps ward off severe illness, but does it help prevent spread? That should be the concern, and it doesn't appear to. So why would you throw away all these resources over something that has no scientific justification. It doesn't make any sense.
No, in fact, I think it's pretty interesting that this week, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin came down with COVID and is having to quarantine, even though he has been vaccinated and boosted. So, but he's going to go ahead and try to get rid of the Navy SEALs who are suing to retain their religious accommodation.
It's just shocking to me, and unfortunately, a lot of our senior military leaders appear to be just sort of, you know, caving in instead of standing up, because they have a voice. They have arguably the strongest voice when it comes to defending our troops, and I don't hear it.
Well, you were a chief warrant officer, which means you were already used to telling generals what to do anyway, so that's going to wind up being one of those things that you'll have a chance to do if you're a U.S. senator.
Mike, certainly told it like it was, and that's who I am anyway, so it's a great fit for me.
Well, fair enough. All right, Mike, listen, thank you for being on the show today. Are there any events coming up in North Alabama here in this listening area that you want to make sure folks know about, or how to get in touch with you, or where to find out more about you?
Yeah, so I'm going to the Shoals tomorrow. I will be there at 8:30. I don't know if it's open to the public. I apologize for that, but that should be easy to find out for anybody that's interested in going. It's I'm sorry, I was trying to look it up on my calendar here, but it's going to waste too much time. And then we're filling out the schedule for next week, but I will be out and about. The best thing to do is send an email, like I said earlier, to mike@mikedurant.com, or go to the website, mikedurant.com, and you should be able to find whatever information you're looking for.
All right. Hey, Mike Durant, thanks for being on the show. We look forward to having you on again more in the future, and best of luck as you move forward.
Well, thank you very much. It's great talking to you.
All right. Great talking to you. All right, folks, that is we have three candidates. We have Mo Brooks on yesterday. We have Mike Durant on today. We've got Katie Britt out there, who hasn't been on the show in quite a long time. We'll see if we can work that out. But nonetheless, those are your three candidates for U.S. Senate. Right now, if you looked at the polls, I'm looking at, I think the most recent polls show that if you had a primary today, that they say in a McLaughlin poll, McLaughlin is one of the more respected pollsters nationwide, the McLaughlin poll said, Mo Brooks, 28% roughly. I think it was 28.2 or something like that. Katie Britt, I think she had 26.1. Mike Durant had 16.6, but that was when Jessica Taylor was still in the race. Jessica Taylor, who was a candidate, who was not gaining a lot of traction, but she still had 4.4%, I believe it was, of her own. She has decided to drop out this week, and she endorsed Mike Durant. And in doing so, she pretty heavy-handedly said what she thought about Katie Britt and Mo Brooks. And so that being said, the question then becomes, since it appears that Mike Durant scarfed up all of the votes that Linda Blanchard left behind when she flipped over to the governor's race, now you got to wonder, does that mean that Durant's going to pick up all of the Jessica Taylor votes? I mean, I don't know. You got to wonder, were those votes for Jessica Taylor based on the fact that she was a woman, for say, which means they might go to Katie Britt, or were they based on the fact that she was not Brooks or Britt? And if it was the anti-Brooks and Britt vote, 4.4%, then let's assume those drop over to Mike Durant. All right, do the numbers with me. That means that this just drops Mike Durant, or pushes Mike Durant straight up to around 21%. All right, Katie Britt has 26. But here's the rub. Every one of these polls has got what they call a margin of error. A margin of error, meaning somehow or another, scientifically, the actuarials come out with the some kind of a formula that says, we believe that our poll has a rough margin of error of 4.5%. Okay, if Mike Durant truly has 21 then, and you add the potential of up to 4.5, that puts him at 25.5% to Katie Britt's 26.1. I'm just telling you, folks, this is a race. This is a race. This is a no-fooling, going-to-go-all-the-way-to-the-finish-line race. There's going to be a runoff. In my opinion, there will be. And right now, the only one who continually climbs in the polls is Mike Durant. That's going to be fun to watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Coming up next, we got Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll be right back.